Always got to say something before I start. I was wondering if I had that cartoon program where you could get a black hole and throw it out in front of you and dive into it, but obviously that didn't work. Sometimes when you come from the bush to the city, you get quite nervous because I thought my colleagues at the front were the city educated one and I was just the rough diamond from the bush. But good afternoon, everybody. And as a Gamilaroi woman, I'd first likely to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land we meet on today, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, and pay my respects to Uncle Charge for his welcome and acknowledge the elders of the past and present that are here today. But I think it's also important because the work that I do with the AS is to acknowledge the non-Aboriginal people in the room that are walking together with us in our fight for equality, better employment outcomes and everything else that we need as Indigenous people. And I have to acknowledge Dick, unfortunately, because he's been one of those people that has taught me about the true value of partnerships and the true value of trust and honesty with, to put it quite frankly, white people coming from a town like Moree that was a race riot town where there wasn't a lot of trust. So I think that him and I still have this partnership years later, and very much as a young girl, it's quite interesting, shows that things can be done and you can work together as black and white people to build a nation and opportunities for Aboriginal people. And I won't apologise for my political incorrectness because I did 11 years in the government. And when you're out in the bush and living where I do, you're not always politically correct. So I'd also like to acknowledge Commissioner Tom Cowmer. I feel quite privileged to be here today. I was telling my family, do you know what I'm doing? And they're going, yeah. I was thinking, I don't really think they do. But anyway, it's, I'm just going to do a talk and big night myself was what my father told me. So one day they'll come and watch me talk and I think they'll understand what their daughter does outside of just being one of the eighth child out of nine. So they always told me I thought I was an only child. I think that's the way Dick thinks when I'm organising the AES. I probably was a bit determined as a young girl, left home quite early and decided I'd charge my own destiny out of welfare, public housing, drugs, alcohol, all that sort of stuff. Just took the street and this is where my life's probably ended up. So the AES, or the Aboriginal Employment Strategy, began in Moree in 1997 as a response to one of the recommendations in the report into black deaths in custody, which is very prevalent considering we're launching a social justice report today and there's recommendations in that, and it's amazing what you can do if someone graphs some of those recommendations and look at where the AES is today and where we're heading to for a future. The report stated the stimulation of increased Aboriginal employment in the private sector is particularly difficult, and don't I know that, and my colleagues at the front, but must be pursued more actively. So through the support of our chairperson, Dick Estens, and the Guida Valley Cotton Growers, which is quite interesting because they're like a love and hate people out where we grow. They're still loved and hated as far as cotton growers. But they came up with an idea of creating a Guida Valley Cotton Growers Aboriginal Employment Strategy, which they, as a business and their business behind, them guys being businessmen, led through the charge into bureaucrat and government to say, hey, there's people out here in this community. There's a lot of social injustice happening. They're a lot more worthy than just being a cotton chipper and knowing the difference between what a cotton plant looks like, which is here, and a weed. There wasn't much skill in that. So that went along for a few years, and that started in 1997. And unfortunately, when the Twin Towers and terrorism hit the nation or the world, the AES was handed over. Something good came out of that day because the AES was handed over back to the community on September 11, 2001, and I became the chair. So that's a horrible date that sticks in my head, but it's a good date from my point of view. And it was quite controversial because it was handed over to five young Aboriginal people, probably ranging from 28 to 33, in a community that really had a lot of our older people running our lives, running our companies, and being a part of the future. And I think the amazing thing in the wisdom of the people that handed that over, even though our elders supported it, were a bit apprehensive, was what could this new young generation do? And looking backwards, we did a damn good job, but we've got a harder job to keep doing in the future. And it was something that was completely different because we go to our elders to consult and we were in two minds too, wondering. I actually thought Dick picked me because I was fair looking, I was married and I fit that little white mould that was out there of what people wanted to see Aboriginal people be a part. So that was quite interesting for me over the years. He just picked me because of my commitment and my drive, obviously. But I was a bit confused. And we didn't want to be leaders. We just wanted to be a part of the community. We wanted to show a lot of the people in our community that we had wonderful Aboriginal kids growing up. They were smart. You know, they had a brain. Not that dumb, black and stupid stuff that tends to be out there in a lot of non-Indigenous Australians' minds. And we wanted to prove throughout this era that our kids were just as good as other kids to get a job. So from and basically someone called my daughter a nigger at a Catholic school. So what I'd say I got involved with this as being a cranky mum. And it's amazing what the power of mothers can do. Considering culture, that mother is the central theme of our culture, I think that's a quite interesting point for me because it's very powerful what you can do to try and give some hope and instill some future for your children. The AES, since 1997, has grown as an organisation. And after Maury, we opened an office in Tamworth in 2003. We had a documentary filmed on our life and I must have been won the best award for being the best dodger of the film crew. And then in Dubbo in 2004, we opened another office. And then last year, we got a wonderful budget announcement from the government. And I say that with a little bit of sarcasm because within that it was, this is how many offices you will do over a certain period of time. This is how fast you'll run. This is hopefully where you'll do it. And to me then I started to realise that it's not just a battle on the fronts as far as our people and our communities and business, but there's also a battle out there to change the attitude of government and the way that they want to impose especially our role out upon us. And it was something that I learnt very quickly as a young woman, how bureaucrats try to manipulate Indigenous people's lives. But the good thing was we have an office in Glebe, Blacktown and in Maitland in the Hunter Valley because of that fast run. I think we were thinking we're going for the Commonwealth Gold Medal. I think we nearly won it. And we are set to open another two offices later this year, but hopefully we'll do that. We'll breathe in between that, especially me. We've developed a philosophy, developed corporate values to adapt our changing environment and to ensure we are meeting the needs of both the Aboriginal and the business community. I think it's important to mention that we're not a job network provider. The one important thing about the AES and the reason why a lot of our people like to work for us and the reason I like to be a part of the leadership is that we are not about Centrelink, welfare or mutual obligation. We do not use the government stick to beat our people up to say you must come in today and look for a job. You have to come and do this or I'm going to breach you, I'm going to take your money and you can starve your families. And then what that does for us, when you get a dog-eat-dog society and you need to survive, what will you do when your children haven't got anything to eat? And that probably leads to some of our criminal activities and other things that happen. So we don't have mutual obligation. People come to the AES because they want to work. They want to change their future. They wake up in the morning and say, hey, I want to do what someone else over there is doing, my cousin's doing, what that fella's doing. And we help them to find a pathway. We have genuine people that come in. They need... In fact, we opened the Tamworth office in 2003 and 75 people walked through the door in the first 3 days. There was an annual report that I know Dick likes to say, so I'll do it for him, that a job network provider had in Tamworth, and their success in their annual report was that they had placed 4 Aboriginal people in job prior to the AES commencing their operations in Tamworth. And they told us that we wouldn't get anyone to come and register. 75 people walked through the door voluntary within 3 days of that office being opened. We actually have an Aboriginal flag and a cotton ball, unfortunately, above our office. And in that, it shows the power of partnership. It's actually quite funny. I've diverted from this and my communication manager is going to smack me later. But in Maury, we were getting a lot of the windows broken and because we actually, you know, we're loved and hated in our office. And Dick kept saying to me, Kathy, they keep breaking your window. And I said, no, Dick, they're actually breaking yours because they're hitting above the cotton ball and they're leaving the Aboriginal flag alone. I think they're trying to give you a message, mate, because he said, are you getting, oh, I can't say rough word, are you getting cranky? And I said, no, not at all, because they're hitting the cotton ball. They're not hitting me at all. It's you. So, and it was really good from my point of view because people are going, well, do you think it's black people? Do you think it's white people? I said, I don't care. We're a business and we're paying insurance. So it gave us an equal footing in the business world that we didn't worry about that whole, let's just run down the Aboriginal kid. We just said, we'll just pay the insurance and keep going. But I still reckon it was Dick and his mob. Okay, I've got to stick to this speech too, so I'm going to be all over the place. But and also, at the end of the first year in Tamworth, we had 600 Aboriginal people had registered and were actively looking for work in Tamworth. It was quite interesting. We went to Tamworth. I still think something spiritual is working with me because my grandmother came originally from Walhallo or Karuna Mission that they call now. So it was a great divide to bring the two Kamilaroi peoples' nations together in that Maori and Tamworth community and provide a footprint across that 300 Ks. We opened our Blacktown office, or what Dick would term it as Blackstown, and it caused a little bit of controversy, but that's what we're all about because we're here to make put our flag in the sand and stay. But in that office, we call it Boomtown now, and we have 4 months. After 4 months, we place 60 Aboriginal people into employment. And I think that in itself is proof in the pie that this organisation or this company is able to be out there and build partnerships and get our people into what's economic sustainability and true jobs. These aren't jobs that we subsidise. What makes us different? Obviously, we're 100% Aboriginal managed. We have a Dick that, what I'd say, a lot of people ask, why is Dick involved and why don't you get rid of him? We need to show that as Australians we can work together, and he's got great political connections, unfortunately. The reason they mentioned in my opening bio that my dad was a shearer, so you can understand that I'm not a National Liberal, I'm not nobody, I'm just Aboriginal and we're a political football no matter what government's in power at the time. So I think that's important to remember. He's a great mate, but we just use him for his business brain more than where his side sit. We're 100% managed. We have all our employment coordinators are Aboriginal. All our office managers are Aboriginal. All our corporate staff are Aboriginal. We are self-determination in action. We prove that we can and should be managing our own affairs, and there's no mission managers required, thank you. And considering there's two missions in Moree, that's quite important for me to say that. So when an Aboriginal person comes in our front door, they know that they can speak to someone who understands where they come from. And I think that's more important out there as far as service delivery, because we've always got these identified government positions, and no offence if anyone's in them, and, you know, and they're not... You're looking for that Aboriginal face in the crowd and it's just not there. And I think that's important that we can link with our own people and find that we... A lot of non-Aboriginal employers would say, but they just didn't tell me they didn't want to come to work. They just didn't say anything. Sometimes we're shame. Sometimes we just want to tell our own mob because they understand why. And I think that's been one of the successes of the AES. We also provide employment coordinators that go out and mentor our workers. And we also have employment coordinators, and the key of our organisation is that 90% of our time is built building relationships with corporate Australia, the commercial world, white people, for offence of a better word, and to say that, hey, we're here and we'd like to be a part of the employment arena outside of Aboriginal organisations and outside of government. And it's really looking at those business sectors and the corporate world of where we can inject ourselves in and stay in. And with that, we provide practical reconciliation and practical cultural awareness, because usually in those bigger organisations, there may be one in 10,000, which is similar to what something IAG had a few years ago, and now are moving towards increasing their Aboriginal input. We help our clients in really practical terms. Unfortunately, we can get a phone call and say, I'm broken down on the side of the road and I've got no petrol and the contractor's just put me off and I've got no food. We get the petrol, we get the food, we get the person settled and we get them back into work. It's simple stuff. It's very common sense what we do. If you need a first aid certificate to do a childcare course, we try and access the first aid certificate. It may not be through your standard training institution. It may be through another alternative provider that can work within the learning styles of our people. We help with mock interviews. We help you buy a pair of shoes so you don't cut your feet off in the cotton industry. And most important of all, we just give an ear to listen to. We're someone there for people to talk to about the world of work. A lot of our employment coordinators come from the community to which they live in, especially out in rural and regional Australia where I work. And a lot of them have had experiences that haven't been good. But with that, they haven't come with a chip on the shoulder and poor old, I hate that white fella. They've come along with that, I've grown from that experience and I want to help my people get through that experience also, and I think that's important. So we understand, having 100% Aboriginal staff, we understand your needs, the needs of the community, but having Dick and other people and knowing what we do now, we start to understand the needs of the business community. CDP is not an employment option. For our organisation, or for me, or for my children, to be quite honest, from a personal point of view. It's getting our people's mindset out of the idea of the dole and welfare and the idea of work that... And the idea of CDP is 2 days a week as a part of work. There's new reforms in at the moment now where CDP is going to be given the youth allowance. I think that may be a part of the government's mainstreaming idea. I'm not quite sure. Or it could be a deterrent to go to CDP at 16 years of age and learn how to do 2 days a week work from where I come from, and look at continuing your education and getting on to what the reality of economic sustainability. And it's not living in a white man's materialistic world. It's actually placing your children in a far better competitive edge than what they've had from having to live on welfare and in public housing. So what the AES is about is trying to get our people to know that work is about 5 days, 6 days, 7 days, 4 days, part-time. And this is what makes our challenges hard, is the transition that we have from 2 days a week to 5 days a week, to real jobs, to the real world, to when the government abolishes ATSIC and abolishes other programs, CDP when it goes or if it goes, then how many people of those 32,000 people will be on welfare and how many of them will be in work? It's why the AES looks at work and not CDP as an employment option, because it's only if the cotton grower goes broke, the corporation bellies up, the small business doesn't make it. They're the world that we want to be in. We don't want to be political footballs of the government, and we don't want to be sticks that get thrown around when someone says something wasn't done. We tend to, as a nation, pull out the worst on Aboriginal people. We don't talk about successes. We don't show our children success. We don't say to them that you can be whatever you want to be. We can get caught up in the world of saying, when my daughter says to me I want to be a lawyer, so her family don't go, nah, you're not going to do that. You're in a pregnant 15 and a $5,000 bonus. What they say to her is, you're going to do that, and they're very proud of her and they hope that she makes it one day. And I think that support is very important out there in our communities, especially Moree, because we do not have an Aboriginal lawyer. We have a fair bit of people coming up and turning up to court every day. It's our meeting place at the moment, which is unfortunate. Capacity building is a concept that all government agencies love to use when it comes to Aboriginal communities, but in my mind, there's not always a lot of success. The transferring is skills in the community. Well, the best form of capacity, of course, is getting someone a job so that they can gain skills, gain knowledge, gain experience, gain opportunities. We charge our own destinies and we determine our own lives. There are two programs in which we operate through the AES which we think are important to capacity building, important to ensuring we are part of building a base of skill and knowledge in our communities. The focus for these programs is our young people, is our future, and is seeding our young people. The population of non-Indigenous Australians, as we all know, is an ageing one. As many of us know also, the Indigenous population isn't. We're young, we breed well, and we have 50% of our children, or if I'm not right, the stats are under 25, and 30% of those are 18, under 18. That is a growing concern for the nation, and it's a growing concern for us as parents. It's a growing concern for us as an organisation looking at employment. Oh, I'm not going to stick to that. Okay, and what I'm not going to stick this, that's backing me up. So basically, and I just want to talk about two of those programs. The first one I want to talk about is we have our school-based traineeship program that we've developed through the AES, and I know it's out there in debt in other areas, but the intake of Aboriginal people wasn't there. And I'd also like to talk about our AES security program that came from the concept of some young gentlemen working in Moree, where a lot of the time they wanted to beat up the police and riot and do that sort of stuff. This is the community I've come from. We had the concept of Aboriginal employment security. We got our own master's licence, and we started to look at, through one of the young gentlemen that worked in our office at the time, the lost warrior syndrome that we had in our community of a lot of our men over 40 or over in the 35s, even to the 30 age group. We're drinking, we're running around idle. When you're not running the country, we're not running your family, when welfare's providing your income base, when all of our traditional values have gone, and now that all we have as men is wives going, whatever, I'm on the pension, I don't need you, you've got a two-day-a-week work and you're not in charge. We have white Australians or white men or white people out there in politics, in employers. They're our educators, they're our employers, they're our politicians. There is no place and purpose for our men. And always as we go through life as our Aboriginal men, and fortunately I've got six brothers, so I like to talk about this quite well, as our men, we always seem that we're second best, or we have to prove that we're double or triple or quadruple better to get the eye of the white man to get into a work. So when we're not in control of our own country, that oppression and depression leads to our drinking, our drugging and our domestic violence. And I think everybody, no matter if you're black, white or brindle, you need purpose within your life. An idle mind, and it creates boredom. Nothing to do creates despair and depression. So what we did with our security program was work very hard to get our men into a role of protection within our community. They work with the police, but they do not push back into the police. They actually push back into the community. They talk, they use their mouth. They don't use guns, they don't use batons. They don't use their fists. They use the fact that they can talk to kids and relate to kids and have a yarn, and they also can ring Nan and Pop and tell them you're down at Woolworths shaking and you better, or stealing I should say, and you better get home because I don't really want to ring the police. And you don't get a hiding, but you get a stern talking to. And I think that's very important, because I think this program in Moree, we are the only out of, lost it out of my head, but say out of 200 or 300 Woolworths stores, we're the only all Aboriginal team that secures Woolworths 7 days a week in Moree. That in itself has created about 20 jobs within Woolies. because they actually could look after us, they actually could protect us, and now we can give them a job. And that's a psychological spin-off that we have out there. And we have an Aboriginal woman that runs our Moree security. She has six young daughters, and she, if anyone knows Moree, she still lives down at Mee Eye Crescent, down at the mission. And she's determining her own life, and she's providing a role model for her daughters to come behind. We also in Dubbo run a security program where we're in the public housing area and we're looking at the Gordon Estate, and we've worked with Corporate Australia to help us assist that. And I think that's important. We do a street beat program in Dubbo where we call ourselves Aboriginal ambassadors, and we also look after trying to disperse our kids and remove them from the criminal aspects, but also to stop the incarceration through this program of our kids with petty crimes turning up in court. We talk and we liaise with some of our people, and if some of the kids, I've noticed in some of our guards, if they see some of the kids, they're wandering around, they're loitering around the shops, here's $5, buy what you need and see you later. And I think that's far better than shake it, the white guard grabs you, the police comes, you've just got charged and you're going to head to juvenile justice centres. So I think that's a very important program that we're doing in a capacity building concept within our communities, especially in Moree and Dubbo. It's very important in Moree. It's quite nice in Moree now. So when the cotton growers have a function in the town hall that we were locked out of years ago, you can't get in unless you show your invitation to our guards. They also learn how to say sir and ma'am. So when Dick's wife and family and friends and all his colleagues come up, it's sir, it's ma'am. And that has a very big impact then of what they would think we would say to them when we wanted to get a ticket. So, and we also on our security, we have the Aboriginal flag and we have working together on our logos, which you probably can't see unless you've got a microscopic glasses on up the top there. And I think that's important that we have that working together symbol, because it's about us working together to build a better place for our children away from criminal incarceration. It's very important for me also because I've also had that experience personally, not as an individual but through my own brothers. We have a school-based traineeship program. We operate in partnership with the Commonwealth and ANZ Bank. And what that involves is high school students completing a two-year traineeship in business administration or financial services whilst they're undertaking year 10. So at the end of year 10, kids go around, we have a chat to them, and they have to basically go through a culling exercise, be interviewed by the bank and be given a job within their local community. They complete 1,600 hours, and 1,300 hours of that are on the job over those 2 years. They still must complete their HSE. So the whole dumb, black and stupid stuff's gone out the door with this program, because you'd have to actually get your HSC and do a certificate too in a traineeship on top of it. You're also working in the front line of the bank. You're not the robber. You're actually the person selling in the teller, and you're giving people their money and doing everything in the front line. The students, they finish at the end of their HSC. They do 1 day a week in the bank. They get $12 an hour. I just wanted to state that, because they're actually getting paid $4 over and above the award. So I think that's very important, the commitment of the banking industry, except especially the ANZ and Commonwealth Bank, to value our students and value add to our students through that process. And it's very more attractive than going down the road working in the chicken shop. They spend 3.5 days at school and 1 day at training. Yep, said that. And they also do the school holidays within the banks also. So they'll take on, if they go into year 10, they'll work through the Christmas holiday break, which is a challenge, because we all want to party and we all want to relax. And as Murrays, we get to Christmas, we go, yay, but not in anymore in our organisation and not in the commercial world. So they earn money, they have frontline exposure in the banking industry, and they also not only reach their HSC, but they also reach a traineeship level. It also prepares them if they would like to go on to university. We're investing in our the banks are investing in their local communities, and what they also are doing is representing our local communities. I think I missed a page here, but anyway. We currently have 30 SBTs working in the banks in northern or regional New South Wales, in towns like Moree, Dubbo, Crindai, Gunnedah, places where welfare with Aboriginal people goes back several generations. In 2005, six of our original piloted SBTs that started in 2003 graduated. Of these five still work in the banking industry part-time or full-time, and one is studying a Bachelor of Business at the University of Technology in Sydney. So we had 100% success rate with those young students. And coming from rural and remote communities, I don't think any of them would believe they'd ever get a job in the bank, let alone one of our students go on to UTS and study a non-traditional role, because usually as Aboriginal people we're not studying business. And I think that's very important for that young gentleman. we're pretty excited about the potential of our school-based traineeship program, because by the end of this year, we intend on expanding this program to over 100 school-based trainees across the New South Wales with ANZ and Commonwealth Banks. And we've also got the National Australia Bank and Westpac on board. We've had enormous support from our banks. The CEO of the ANZ Bank, John McFarlane, I thought it was real funny. Dick brings in a white guy into our office. We're all sitting around. We go, who's this fellow? And they said, he's in charge of the banks and all over the world. We go, oh, you know, Australia, New Zealand. We go, oh shit, what will we do? And they go, well, we're going to have to sell Aboriginal employment. And we sat there and we tried to sell Aboriginal employment as unemployed people. And it didn't really work, because I think they still thought we were going to steal the till. So we actually started to talk really hard about, okay, how about kids in schools? How about a school-based trainee program? How about something where you actually work with kids in schools? And the light bulb went on in one of the ANZ guys' head that came from New Zealand, and he took that program and run with it. And with that building of that relationship and bringing that young gentle, that John McFarlane into our organisation, is even though we were naive, not realising he was the CEO of the ANZ Bank, I think if he did, we probably would have been a little bit more nervous. He actually made a commitment, because he said one sentence to me that really made me a bit cranky, and it was in New Zealand we have Indigenous people represented in our banks. My only line was, what happened to Australia and what happened to Aboriginal people? And from that he's made a commitment, and we've been able to, with our expansion of the AES and our corporate colleagues, now look at generating 100 positions within the metropolitan and regional areas in 2006-07 for the banking industry. We also have the CEO of Woolworths, Roger Corbett, has seen what we've done in Moree and are working with us in Sydney to look at further expansions within Woolworths. And the CEO of McDonald's is also on board. Now, you might wonder why I keep mentioning all these flash business people's names, but basically what we're saying is that Aboriginal people have a place in corporate Australia. We don't have to close the doors. We can put our foot through the door, and we can provide a skilled workforce with corporate Australia, and working with them on what their needs are and what their wants are, and trying to make our Indigenous kids as competitive and giving them the edge to get their foot into the door of real sustainable jobs. The AES is a vehicle for them, and we provide a link to the Aboriginal community also for the banks. Working with the corporate sector, with any mainstream business, does present challenges. It's not all, I don't wear rose-coloured glasses, unfortunately, for both Aboriginal people and the employer. And part of the role of the employment coordinator is to work with the employee and the business to work through these issues. For many of our clients, it was the first time they've ever had a job, and quite often their parents and grandparents haven't worked before. And what I say to a lot of people is, how do you know what work's about when you've never had work in your world? When you get up in the morning and the brick wall is your employer, because he's the automatic teller machine and that's where you put your kid up to go and get the money out, how do you have a concept of the world of work? And how do you have a concept of what mainstream society and mainstream employers want when you've never really had that in your background? So I think what the AES does is help to provide a vehicle and a support mechanism for those people that have never entered the world of work and have only seen the world of welfare and not really understand that they're in this world. There is a lack of cultural awareness in many businesses, especially as many of our businesses have never employed an Aboriginal person before. For the employee, they may be the only black face at work. This is relevant for funerals, when Aboriginal people need time off to be with their family, and not all businesses are understanding as others. In regional areas, for example, as Moree or Tamworth, if you work in the agriculture industry and it's harvest time and you're taking several days off to go to a funeral, it's just not on. So with our employment coordinators, we work in with talking to the employer and helping to sub another man in so that that gentleman can go away and have his grieving processes. There are also challenges Aboriginal people face from their own people. Someone who has decided on one of our posters, one of the ladies in our organisation came up with a slogan, and she was one of the women that was on the Freedom Ride bus. She was singing in the background, if anyone's seen it, and she wasn't allowed into the pool. And when Charlie Perkins came along to Moree at that time, and she gave up with a great slogan, which was, leave the mob, get a job. She didn't mean leave your people. She meant leave the mob of welfare and get on with the world of work and economic sustainability. You may get labelled as a coconut, unfortunately, if you start to work with too many white people and too many business people. And that's one of our challenges we constantly face from our community. Or do you think you're too good for us? Or, gee, you're looking neat now and your shoes match, and what do you think, you're too black, sister, or something? And that tends to be some of the challenges that we have, because our mob want us to keep in the pack mentality. Many businesses expect that if they're going to employ an Aboriginal person, that they will get a grant or a subsidy or what the AES calls a bounty. that lessens the impact of someone in an employment arena. If you know that you got a job because you're black and there was money attached to you, how does it make you feel? If you know you got a job because you had the right skills and the employer wanted to employ you and he also wanted you to have the job because you were the right person for the job, that is far better for your self-esteem than having someone employ you because they can take money to give you there. And usually what we've found from our experiences, when the subsidy stops, so does the Aboriginal person's employment. Unfortunately, there would also be a view among the business community that Aboriginal people don't have the business acumen or government skills to work in the private sector. Unfortunately, when we look at the state of many of our lands councils, some of our Aboriginal organisations, it's difficult to counter this view, which is why it's important for the AES to succeed as a 100% Aboriginal operated business. We are a business, not a community organisation. Each of our offices is located in the main street of town for all to see, not in the back streets. We have no more blacks to the back mentality. Challenges ahead for us as an organisation is the AES is growing and we face many challenges as we grow. Our most significant challenge is our relationship with the Australian government because we do not fit the employment reforms bill. We do not fit their employment agenda. The bureaucracy in Canberra has had a difficulty with us from the beginning. If it wasn't through the support of our former Deputy Prime Minister John Anderson, probably being a bit of a country boy and seeing what Morrie's done out in Tamworth out in his own backyard, it's very interesting when you're in someone's face. The idea that Aboriginal people should be managing Aboriginal employment and not job networks agencies, most of us who don't even come close to matching the results we have got is one that we have hard to grasp for some Canberra bureaucrats. But we're working through these issues. The Aboriginal communities themselves present challenges and each office operates in a community which has different needs and different challenges. But we have to change the idea that being on welfare is better than having a job. And hopefully the changes that are being proposed to CDP will assist in that process of basically encouraging our people to move into the mainstream of employment. The AES is excited about our future. We are excited about the results we are getting for our people and that we continue to get the private sector in behind us, backing the need to get more Aboriginal people in jobs and to grow that as quick as we can. We need to provide a footprint across New South Wales, which we're currently doing with our six offices, so that we can provide support and move within other communities outside of the Gamilaroi Nation, where I come from, to provide the same sort of assistance. Basically, our organisation is about the future for our organisation is work and for our people, not welfare. Thank you.